Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
I want to talk to you today about the worried me and the word me. I have this worried me that thinks it went to school for, I don't know, psychology or something. This guy worries so much, thinks negative thoughts. In fact, he worries so much he lost his hair from worrying all the time. He wakes me up in the middle of the night and says stuff like, "You've taken this organization as far as you can. Your leadership lid, you've hit it. This is as big as you're ever going to be. In fact, you're out way beyond what you're capable of." He just worries himself sick. The word me says, hang on a minute. The Bible said in James, if any man lack wisdom, and I certainly do, that I could ask of God and he would give me wisdom to do what it is I need to do that I don't know that I need to do. So the experts are always astounded at how we can do what we do. There's research companies that study churches like us. It's crazy. How is this possible? I'm telling you that you are called to do something extraordinary from God, but if you don't get a hold of this worried you, the worried you will totally keep you captivated, exhausted, because it's just the way it goes. 70% of all Americans deal with anxiety and depression. 35 million Americans. I believe also it is genetic. Worry and depression and anxiety, a lot of times there's a gene there. It's genetic. It's kind of like ugly. If your mama had it, you might have it. Come on now, you know what I'm saying right now? If your daddy pretty, you might be pretty. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, "You're pretty. Your daddy must have been pretty." So his dad, Henry Harmon, he was a warrior. He worked for the local Teamsters down here in St. Louis. And the worried Henry would be like, you went through the Great Depression. People don't know how bad things can get. Things can really get really bad. So some people do this, some people do this. My grandpa did, and he was on a lot of different medications because he did not control the worried him. He never got in the right church to renew his mind. He didn't really know the scripture on command, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all my cares upon him, for he cares for me. He didn't really know that the Bible said that we should look at the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin, yet our Heavenly Father takes care of them. Look at the birds of the air. They're flying around and they're eating and God takes care of them. Now, aren't you much more worried you than those? What are you thinking? You need to, and I need to, control this thing right here before it controls us. Anxiety, depression. Anxiety uncontrolled leads to a horrible thing that I never want you to have happen. Panic attacks. If you've never experienced them, they're horrible. I've had them. Not on a lot of occasions, but I have had them. I had to learn through my dad because I watched what he did with his life and realized, man, that's a bad way to live. Being actually so messed up, you allowed your thoughts to get so out of control and you didn't control your thoughts. Now you can't control your mind, so therefore you need help. And there's nothing wrong with medicine. I'm all for it. Thank God we got my dad to a good doctor who got him on some medicines that really helped him. One of which was Xanax. And it allowed him to heal the damage that he had done to his brain and his mind, and he could control his life. I remember after a couple of years, he said, "Hey, I got it cut down to a half. I'm only taking half." I remember I flew him to some thing he wanted to go to in Wisconsin and the year before he died, and he said, "Man, I've got it down to a slither, just a slither." He was so proud of himself. In fact, at that point, I think it was more a mental dependency than it was even the drug. Although, let me be sure everybody understands, I'm all for medicine. Take the medicine in the name of Jesus until you get yourself better, but don't live your life depressed, feeling like something's wrong with you and you're weird. You're not weird. You've just been through some stuff. You can overcome it. Jesus said a lot about this. In fact, let's read, first of all, Isaiah, what he said. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, "Arise from your depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord." I love that. Arise from your depression. Now, here's what it didn't say. Go ahead and sit in the chair and worry about all the things that could go wrong. I'm hearing people say stuff like this now. "Oh, this is a big year, this election year. this thing goes wrong, we get the wrong person, we might have to move to Canada. No, you're not. Why do you want to move to Canada? We live in the United States of America, the greatest country in the whole wide world, and we will live through whatever we live through, and we're going to live through it renewed. We're going to live through it provided for. Come on right now. Presidents are going to come and go, but God is still on the throne. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. Somebody ought to control the worried you and get the word you at the right church. Arise, Isaiah 60, arise from the depression which circumstances kept you. So I watch people go, I'm just going through this divorce. It's horrible. I know what it's like to go through a divorce. I know what it's like to lay around, be depressed, feel like something's wrong with you. It's one thing when somebody leaves you. It's horrible. When somebody dies, they had no choice. When they leave you, you feel rejected, you feel abandoned, and now you have the ability to watch how they make their life look so good on Instagram and Facebook, and they're taking all these shots. You're like, I think they lost weight. No, they put a filter on that bad boy. She is still jacked up. Come on right now. She cray cray. So we're sitting here allowing the worried us to affect our whole life. God said, arise, arise. Don't sit here worried. And don't allow that sucker to keep you up all night. You got to go to sleep. Yeah. Beauty sleep. I know you're beautiful already, but just think how good looking you would be if you actually slept. So I lay down at night and I go to sleep just like that. Boom. Nicole goes, oh my gosh, how in the world can you go to sleep that fast? You owe $12 million. That's why I need my sleep. We're on television. I got a lot of bills. I'm just trying to impress you, impress upon you that I got a lot of bills. We're on television. The last 3 weeks in a row, the week before last, was 330,000 people watched the program according to Nielsen. 294,000 this week. And I don't ask for money on TV. And I spend like $60,000 a month on television. And I don't ask you for money. I'm thinking about it. But at the end of the day, worried me has to say, stupid stuff like this doesn't make sense. You cannot justify spending this money. How in the world can you quantify this as success? We can't justify it. Churches do that all the time. We can't justify, we cannot quantify. I said, well, hey, worried you. I can, because the Bible said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And go ye is the most expensive part in the Bible. So I'm going, and where it's God's will, it's God's bill. So you got to shut up. You looking rough, dog. You got wrinkles upside your head. You lost all your hair. You done lost your mind. And you ain't sleeping. You got to shut up. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Give therapy to yourself. Check this out. I'm going to sit here in this chair because we just bought this bad boy. They told me, we don't have. I said, I kind of want like a lounge, like a chase lounge. They said, we don't have one. I said, get one. Well, how much money do you want to spend? Like, nothing. Well, how are we going to do that? I'm like, Craigslist, dummy. Get on Craigslist. We bought two of these. The guy had matching pair of these ponies in Arnold for $75, and I'm going to sell it for $200 when I'm done. That was a deal. Thank you, whoever you are. Some guy's watching. Mildred, is that our chase lounge? Psalms 94, verse 11. The Lord knows the thoughts of a man and that they are vain and empty. And all the women say, amen. Blessed, happy, and fortunate, and envied is the man whom you discipline and instruct and you teach your law. That's what I'm doing to you right now. Teaching you the Bible in a fun, humorous manner. That you may give him power, check this out, to keep himself calm in days of adversity, in election years. Oil's up, oil's down, economy's up, economy's down. The power to keep himself calm in adversity. Here's the difference between people who don't control their mind, in all due respect, and people that control their mind. My dad, I loved him, but he allowed the pressures of the world to affect his mind. And then he only took basically the word that he heard on Sunday, and he had like his church life, and then he had like his Merle Haggard life. So he loved country music. And I'm not against country music. I love country music. I think it's awesome. If you play it in reverse, you know, if you backmask it, you get your dog back, your car back, your truck back, your life back. Okay, I do. I like country music. But oftentimes I say, in this scripture it said, I'm going to teach you the power to keep yourself calm. I have to tell the worried me, you're not listening to that, because I'm prone to be a little depressed. Creative people do that. Some of the funniest people are the most depressed people. Look at who dies on, you know, Saturday Night Live. It's the people that make you laugh. But they're the people also that are very critical of themselves. Why did you say that? I've already had 15,000 thoughts while I was up here. That was too self-absorbed. You're sitting down too much. You shouldn't have said that. You're wasting time. Put a little Bible here. Now you got too much humor. Now this guy here. Make sure you're... I've had all these thoughts while I'm trying to be coherent with you. This worried me is going through all kinds of processes that are really unnecessary. Just think how good I would be if I could get this guy to shut up. So I train my brain through being calm. So my dad would listen to Merle Haggard. And I didn't know this till after he died. He would sometimes just want to, because his dad did it, his dad would kind of get sad and listen to sad songs. My dad would, like, his pastime was, I will drive my car or I will be in my boat and I will listen to Merle Haggard. He loved Merle Haggard. So one night he had me fly him to Chicago because Merle was in Chicago. And so I got in the plane, I flew to Chicago, I went to the concert, and here's true words to songs. If we could make it through December, I got plans to be in a warmer town come summertime. Another one. I think I'll just stay here and drink. Here's another one. Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, because Mama tried. I'm like, man, I'm depressed. Dad, do you mind splitting that Xanax with me right now? So then I thought, well, I'll listen to Willie, and I went to a Willie concert. You know, it's like, on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. And I got the munchies so bad I had to leave. I was starving. I don't know why. I was thinking. Okay, that's funny, no matter who you are. Okay, so show me your friends, I'll show you your future. That verse again, it said right here in verse 13, I will give you the power to help yourself to keep yourself calm in the days of adversity. Verse 19, skip to verse 19. It says, in the multitude of my anxious thoughts within me, you comfort me. In the multitude of my anxious thoughts, you comfort me. So the Holy Spirit is a comforter. And so the Holy Spirit has to come inside your recreated human spirit. So you believe in your heart and you confess in your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, and now you are saved. You are born again. The Holy Spirit's the one on the inside that's telling the unrenewed brain, the worried you, the word. I want to comfort you. You're going to make it. With long life, I'll satisfy you and you show your salvation. Yeah, but I went to the doctor and they asked me about my family tree. And I told them that everybody died of heart failure and everybody had cancer. No. That was before your tree forked. Your tree forked on the cross 2,000 years ago. And by his stripes, you are healed. You understand? Shuddy. So we kind of need to take this guy and teach him how to relax. He doesn't seem comfortable, does he? It's almost like he's got a stick up his back. This is the way you look when you're like, you don't know my problems. If you were married to who I was married to, then you would understand why I can't relax. If you knew how crazy my kids were, your kids are just like you. That's why you should know how to deal with them. That's why they're being the way they're being. That's why you got to go to church so you can relax. This is the way you look when you go to sleep. Wondering, I don't know why my wife left me. Because you don't have fun anymore, Bob. You don't laugh. Laugh. The Bible said a merry heart doeth good like medicine. So if you're like, well, you don't know how bad the world is. If we could make it through December. No. You don't need that. You need some Pharrell. So happy. Come on. You need to listen to a little bit of, oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Okay, you need to have some fun, okay? Fun. A merry heart does good like a medicine. The joy of the Lord is our strength. This is antidepressant stuff for you right now. So in the middle of the night when you have all these crazy thoughts, you have to control them or they will control you. Now, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says this, and it says that when he was in the garden, he was actually so worried, he was so anxious, remember this, that he said he sweat drops of blood. It's proven fact. Check it out. It's been proven that Some people, I did some research on it, there's been several cases where they were so overwhelmed with anxiety that they actually began to bleed out of the pores of their skin. They were that stressed. This is what was happening to Jesus. And Jesus, he demonstrated what Isaiah said. It said that he got up. He got up. He got up in the Synonymous Gospels and he prayed. One of the reasons why he prayed was he knew, I can talk to God and that'll keep my brain from going crazy. Because one of the ways that you control your life is to control your mind. But the only way that you really control your mind, oftentimes the only way, if it's really bad, is you have to get it shut up because your mind keeps talking. So you go to sleep. To go to sleep, some people do what? They count sheep, right? Because they want to get their mind refined down to one thing. In fact, let's practice something. My dad taught me this as he was working through the anxiety issues. He said, I figured something out. When I feel panic attacks coming on me and my thoughts are overwhelming and I don't know what to do, what I actually do is I start singing. You ask me why I'm happy and I will tell you why. Because my sins are gone. He did some things. He made some bad decisions. So those negative worried me is coming back, driving him crazy. So he goes, you ask me how I'm happy. His brain has to shut up. And we're going to practice this together. Let's all together count to 10. Let's go. 1, 2. Okay, stop. Forget it. Do it on the inside. Go ahead. On the inside. Go. Tell me your name. Tell me your name. Come on. Tell me what's your name. You had to stop your counting, right? You had to stop your counting to see what you were going to say. That's why there's a significance in saying. So if the worried you is absolutely driving you crazy with overwhelming thoughts, sometimes you need to open up your mouth like Jesus did and you pray to the Father and you say, God, I'm going to cast all my cares upon you, 1 Peter 5:7, for you care for me effectually and watchfully. Well, you're going to die early because you're under a lot of stress. I hear this all the time. Your dad died at 56. Your uncle died. Your aunt died. Your grandpa died. They all died in your 50s. You're 47. I'm like, they did not know what I know. With long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. I don't eat what I want to eat. I don't drink what I want to drink. I work out. I do my push-ups. I do everything that I can. Then I allow God to do everything I cannot do. And I'm going to be here so long, my friends in heaven think I went to hell. Come on. Somebody ought to help me be happy today. Stop living your life like this. She left me. You were looking for a woman when you found that one. I don't know what I want to do. The worst thing you can do is be stupid. Keep your cool. Think on these things. Bible said, Philippians. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, keep your mind thinked on this. Worry you? Jesus has got this. So I saw a guy last night. God love him. He came up and he was like this, just rigid. My wife left me, and I hate it. My wife left me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, listen, calm down. Number one, I'm going to tell you the worst thing you can do is lose your mind right now. You're going to be running after her. I need you. I want you. She ran off with somebody else. That's horrible. But the only chance you, opportunity shies away from need. If you keep running after her, you're going to look needy and she can know that she can have you back anytime. What you need to do is go ahead and put your hat on backwards. Be cool. Go to the gym. Lose the weight. Work out. Get your mind right. And if you get your mind right and you be nice again, she might want you back. But if you keep going with worry and anxiety, somebody ought to help me right now. If you keep running that trail, she's going to leave you. She already left you. But she could come back. Just get a country song. You can get her back. Am I helping anybody today? Yes. Isaiah 54 verse 14. You shall establish yourself. I can't do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. You go to church. You get an iConnect. You got to get plugged in. You just come to church 30 minutes on a Sunday morning and think, I'm going to fix you. I can't do that. You're going to need more than 30 minutes and you know it. Got to. You're too jacked up. You shall establish yourself in righteousness, rightness, and conformity to God's will and order. And you shall be far from even the thought of oppression or destruction. For you shall not fear terror. In other words, God said, I put a restraining order on the devil in regards to you. So if I live my life worried and upset all the time, I would not have joy. Therefore, you can't sell joy if you don't have joy. So when I'm up here having fun, how many of y'all can tell I'm having fun? I'm having a blast today. I love to do this. I love. Thank you for listening to me because I love what I do. I would do this if it was just me and him because I talked to somebody. When I was a kid, I was doing this. I knew what I wanted to do, okay? So I'm a communicator. So I want to communicate fun. Most preachers communicate, I'm telling you right now, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And if you don't go to church and you don't clean up, you're going to go to hell. You know you're on your way to hell. People are like, click. They went to church and they told them to go to hell. They went to work and they told them to go to hell. The guy in traffic told them to go to hell. Their boss told them to go to hell. What in hell do you want? We don't want anything in hell. We want what is in heaven. And Jesus came that we could have an abundant life, that we could enjoy our life, that so we could be happy. Life is too short to be mad. So you got to fake it. My kids and my wife laugh at me all the time. I bring a lot of joy to our house because I found out that I set the temperature in our house. If I come in, then everybody's, and my dogs are, or I could just laugh. So I just, sometimes in the, just the middle of something that's semi-funny in a movie, I'll lose it. And they start cracking up because I'm laughing. What am I doing? I'm releasing all kinds of endorphins that's going to make me pretty. It's going to make me young. It's going to make me happy. It's going to make my wife. My wife ain't running out with nobody. She's like, I want to be with you, boy. You my man. You make me laugh. You're funny. You're sense of humor. You ain't got good ass, but you got a good sense of humor. I like you. Instead of this guy, who wants to go to bed with him? A couple of you look desperate. No. Chill. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Keep taking the Xanax. Keep taking the Prozac. Keep taking those things. But then take therapy. Go to a church that allows you to laugh, that has fun. I might be your pastor right now. You might be at the wrong church. Somebody ought to help you get to this church so that you can get free. Be happy. Here's a good thing. Merry heart does good like a medicine. How to overcome depression. Don't take all these situations and problems so seriously. Yesterday on the airplane, Delta, I had our little dog, the 2-pound dog. Did I tell that story already here? I've preached many times today, so I forgot if I told it. So I got the 2-pound dog. It was my responsibility yesterday to get back to St. Louis. We take the dog everywhere because Nicole loves this dog. Dog's really little, so it'll fit. I take it to the bank, let it ride the tube. Sometimes it even leaves the deposit. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, Nicole likes a pink bag. So she's got a pink puppy carrier for the dog. So she always wants me to carry the pink puppy carrier. But I'm secure enough that I can do it. But yesterday when I was walking through Atlanta, I thought, man, I look kind of weird. I got a shoulder strap, and I'm walking this pink bag with my little dog through the airport. But I was like, it doesn't matter. It's no big deal. People pointing at me. I'm cool. I'm laughing at it. In fact, I just settled it in my mind that Nicole probably thinks that I'm so cool that if she put a pink bag on me, it would keep girls from talking to me. They'd be like, he ain't right. So then watch this. I get on the airplane. I'm sitting in the seat. I hate not being on the aisle. Now I'm at this. There's a guy here and me here. While I'm here, I'm chilling. I got my earphones in. I'm ready. I got my Beats on. The dog is in the bag. I know I'm supposed to chain the dog to the little strap, but I don't do that because apparently I just can't figure that out. And midway through the flight, the lady steward's like, sir, yeah, is that your dog? This guy's looking at me. He already doesn't like me anyway. Instead of getting up, see, the worried me, the upset me, the oh my God me, This flight's going to St. Louis. Everybody knows me. I'm walking down the aisle, 27 rows. Here, puppy, 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 puppy. People are laughing. I'm laughing. People are critical. People are pointing. People are, oh my God, it's Pastor David. And finally, I get my puppy. I'm seriously cracking up going, I cannot believe this happened. I mean, they throw me off the plane. Then this guy, I've got to step over him because he's just aggravated. He is mad. His dog has hornets. Mine has fleas. His has hornets. And so I have to step over him, but I'm not allowing, worried me's not like, what does he think? I don't care what he thinks. I'm never going to see the guy again. He's probably seeing me right now, but I'm never going to see him again. So I'm laughing, looking at puppy going, you're crazy. Whatever you do, don't tell your mom. You ran around in there. Can you believe? Oh. Now my dad would have gotten off the airplane. First of all, my dad would have never carried the pink bag, but my dad would have got off that plane going, I'm shamed. Everybody was looking at you. I got off that plane with my pink bag. I'm like, bye, everybody. See ya. You look at the puppy. Look at that puppy. That puppy's so cute. Oh, that puppy's so happy. Puppy, want a treat? Puppy been flying all day, so I took it in the men's bathroom. I'm like, go, puppy, buddy. Took the little toilet seat cover, put it down on the floor. Go, puppy. The puppy runs under the stall. The other people, come here, puppy, get out of there, puppy. Whoa, hey, buddy. That's a picture of my day yesterday. Then I came to church on Saturday night, and I preached happy because I'm not worried about what he says, what they say. I'm concerned about what he says. I'm going to enjoy my life. Married, not married, broke, rich. Single, divorced, gay, straight, whatever's going on, Jesus loves you. He embraces you. He's going to work on you like he's working on me. Some people ain't clapping. You're jacked up too, just so you know. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise today. I'm just saying, get over you. Enjoy your life. I got 4 minutes left. I feel like now would be a good time to quit, but I'm not going to. 4 minutes. I got one other passage I want to read to you. Stop that inner dialogue, by the way. Don't allow the enemy to jack with you. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. God's not thinking we all need to move to Canada. The greatest days for the church and the greatest days for the United States of America, we have yet to see. We're going to win the world. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. Come on now. We're going to take over America again. You're going to love again. You're going to enjoy your life. Stop being so stinking rigid. Tell this guy, shh, nobody wants to hear that. There are so many things I don't even talk about. So many negative thoughts that I have. I want to release them to my family. I don't just wake up and then in here, I hear the Holy Spirit say, just because you're mad doesn't mean you need to make everybody else mad. You're not going to like it when they're mad. Nobody likes you when you're mad. Just chill. And then I do good until somebody makes me mad. And then I got all that pent-up anger and all that anxiety. And I'm mad, and I'm going to tell you something about you, by the way. It's not the way to win friends and influence people. It's not the way to enjoy your life. Don't, by the way, also as we're closing, don't play that game where thank God it's Friday. Thank God it's Wednesday. Thank God it's Tuesday. Thank God it's Thursday. Just thank God every day that you get up and you got breath and britches. Just thank God. And allow the rest of your life to be the best of your life. And whatever you do, make sure. You don't make church just like your side chick. This is commitment, baby. This is to death do we part. Like, when do I graduate? Never. You're going to keep staying in this, and you're going to learn more about Jesus, and you're going to learn more about His Word, whether you're Catholic or Baptist or Jew or confused. We are one body of believers that come under the headship, come on somebody, of Jesus Christ, His love, His grace, His power, His commitment towards us. That's what we're doing here. And that's why you can't just make it a side thing. That's why you got to get involved in iConnect. That's why you need to serve at the men's conference, the women's conference this week. If you're a guy, you can go to the women's conference. You shave your legs. No, you don't have to do that. You can come and serve. If you're a woman, buy yourself a ticket. Buy your kid a ticket. Your daughter needs to learn how to be a godly woman. And Nicole and others can share it. This is going to be the most powerful week we've ever had in the history of our church this week. Don't miss out on it.
I'm really busy.
No, you're not too busy. Incorporate God in there so He can start working on this worried you. And we can start seeing the word you. Now, keep your eyes open, then I have a question to ask you. How many of y'all, there are several things in here today, you're like, oh my gosh, you were totally talking to me. Raise your hand, I want to see who you are. How many of y'all know some people that you're like, wow, I wish they could hear that. Raise your hand. This is why you have to go out in the lobby and wait for a couple minutes and get the CD. So you can hear it over and over. You need to laugh again tomorrow. When you're going to work tomorrow, I want to be in that CD player. I don't want you to listen to Howard Stern. I don't want you to listen to Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck, Fox News. You'll live like everybody else if you listen to what everybody else listens to. Let me. You're going to love me in the morning. You'll be like, screw coffee. I don't need it. I got cranked up. Crank it up. Download the Faith Church app. You can download it to your phone. Follow me on Periscope and Twitter and Instagram. I'll be on there in the morning talking to you. I want to be in your life. I don't just work here at this church. I started this church. I'm going to be the pastor of the church till I'm so old. I'm going to forget what I'm saying, but you'll be so old you won't remember what I said. It's going to be an awesome thing. And we're going to get through this thing together. Come on, somebody. And we're going to be connected to one another. Somebody ought to help me today. And you're going to raise your kids here. You're going to bring them to Rev Night tonight. You're going to get involved. Just don't bolt out today. Get connected. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to pray for you. How many of you would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I really needed that. Would you pray for me? I have some pretty big anxiety right now in my life. Raise your hand all over, even at home, online. Father, I pray for our church family today. This isn't a crowd. This is our family. This is a community of believers that I love. God, I ask you to touch them with your grace and your mercy. Overwhelm them with a sense of urgency to hear this sermon over and over so they can control the worried them and they can renew their mind and allow the word them to be alive. God, let them know the value and the importance of connecting with other believers in this great church. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.